33 Republican governors and governors-elect have sent a letter to the president and congressional leadership with this simple message. The states can't afford the costs associated with the new health care law. With me now to discuss, my Freedom Fighters, Fox Business Network's Elizabeth McDonald, Occidental College professor Carolyn Heldman, and Reason TV's Nick Gillespie. EMAC, to you first. Are you surprised that an administration which gave exemptions to McDonald's, Harley-Davidson, UAW, Jack in the Box, the United Federation of Teachers, would say no to Republican governors? We're not going to give you guys an exemption to this?
Yeah, it does sound surprising. And I'll tell you something. This is a classic 10th Amendment fight about the mandates that are now being put on the states that the Republican governors are fighting. Also, some Democratic governors are upset about. And, you know, it goes in line with how other states have said, look, you are putting way too much on the backs of the states in the way of unfunded mandates, the Clean Water Act, the Disabilities Act, all these demands. It could also be a violation of the 1995 law that Clinton signed into law, which said, look, unfunded mandates must be covered by the federal government. You have to do more federal government helping out the states.
Where do you see this ending, Nick, if the federal government keeps imposing burdens on the states? And in the health care law, literally, thou shalt raise taxes, thou shalt raise this number of taxes, thou shalt spend it as we tell you.
Well, you know, part of it is that the Republican governors are reaping what their Republican counterparts in Congress sowed, because, you know, the Republicans at the national level are not interested in states' rights or in federalism properly understood. So I think there's going to be a big showdown. But it's clear that we already know from the early mandates that are part of the health care reform bill, this is going to break every state's budget. Something will have to give very quickly.
Carolyn, what is the future of health care politically, economically? Let's put aside what the courts will do, because we honestly don't know which way the courts will go. Three courts have looked at this already. Two have said it's constitutional, one have said it's unconstitutional, and there are 17 other cases out there before 17 judges. But you have so many exemptions granted to so many large corporations, McDonald's, so many large unions, UAW and United Federation of Teachers. At some point, the exemption becomes the rule. And the original law becomes the exemption, right?
Well, Judge, I do think that the details of the plan, as with any major piece of legislation, will be worked out over time. I am a bit concerned about some of the corporate exemptions when you have corporations making historic profits. But I would agree with EMAC that the unfunded mandate is a big issue. The federal government is paying 60% of Medicaid, which is the contested provision in health care. The states are paying 40%. The federal government clearly needs to shift that ratio, and I think we'll see some movement from the White House and the Congress on that, where they'll pick up a bigger piece of
the I don't necessarily want to get into a debate over the 16th Amendment. You know, that's the one that let the people elect senators rather than state governments sending them there. But the Senate was supposed to be the state's place at the federal table. Now it acts like just another interest groups. Chuck Schumer couldn't care less what kind of a financial burden he imposes on the government of the state of New York. Andy Cuomo cares. He's a Democrat, and he's joining these Republicans and complaining. Are you surprised about that, Carolyn?
No, I'm not at all surprised. I think this is actually a bipartisan issue. When you have the federal government being much more better able to raise money, spend money, and the states really having limited coffers, I mean, they don't have quantitative easing, it makes sense that the federal government would step in and play a bigger role when it comes to funding Medicaid.
When it comes to health care reform, you have to understand that the end game is not who pays for it, it's that everybody gets shifted into the same system. So you can give exemptions to private companies and to unions, because then people have to go to the government plan. That's how this is going
to happen. How do you decide to whom to give exemptions? Do you give
I'll tell you something.
It's got to be a political decision.
Yes, and that is an issue that is a hot one right now, Judge, because who makes those decisions was never stipulated in health reform. You don't find that anywhere in the legislation for anybody who cares to read it. I've looked into the issue myself, and it clearly comes out of Health and Human Services. They are the ones making the decisions on an ad hoc basis.
Guys, stick around during the break, please. He's shaking up his economic team, but is the president really starting to warm up to economic reality by, are you ready for this, embracing business? My freedom fighters are back on that one next. A new White House chief of staff, a new economic team, and friendlier policies towards business in America. And yet not all CEOs are embracing the olive branches President Obama is extending. Dan DiMicco, chief executive of the steel producer Nucor Corp, told our colleagues at the Wall Street Journal, quote, they give with one hand and take 100 times more with another, either through inaction on bigger issues
or with thousands of unnecessary regulations. Back with my freedom fighters, Emack, Heldman, and Gillespie. Carolyn, to you first. Is the president actually going to claim, after the greatest central planning since FDR, the biggest revamping of the financial industry since 1934, that he's friendly to business?
Oh, Judge, I think he's been friendly to business since he got into office. I mean, he took the people who caused the economic downturn, put them in positions of authority. They passed a watered-down health care reform that didn't deal with derivatives, didn't break up too big to fail. I mean, this historic corporate profits under President Obama, and there's a reason for that. He's always been pro-business. He just hasn't been good at selling that.
Our colleague Charlie Gasparino wrote a book, I think it's called Bought and Paid For, suggesting that the president truly is in bed with Wall Street. But no one can call him pro-business with a straight face. Can they, Emack?
I don't think so. And, you know, the question is he changing? Is he evolving? Is he becoming more business friendly? I say take a wait and see. We have to wait to see what the actions are. Certainly gave a lot of money to Wall Street banks. Certainly did a lot in the way of bailouts. Certainly did a lot of the way in the stimulus spending that went down. Who knows what rat holes. But I got to say, the rhetoric was very anti-business over the last year and a half.
Has he suddenly discovered economics 101, Nicholas?
He is what he's always been, which is a corporatist. I mean, it's not an accident that big Wall Street firms got bailed out. That's exactly who wanted to get bailed out. They're the ones with the political connections.
Wait a minute. Obama, are you talking about George Bush or Barack Obama?
You know what? It's all part of the same. It's the 21st century, God forbid, you know. But this is the problem, is that these guys are not pro-business, and they're certainly not pro-free market. They are pro-big, big business.
Yeah, Carolyn, doesn't Wall Street want welfare? Doesn't Wall Street not even care where its money has come from? Doesn't Wall Street not care if the Fed prints cash as long as it's funneled through them?
Well, I think we've seen clear evidence of that, and also the tax break for the wealthy benefited Wall Street tremendously. I mean, we just see from top to bottom, even the stimulus package,
how is Obama pro-Wall Street then, or pro-business rather? I mean, he's not pro-capitalist for sure. I mean, he's pushing wheelbarrows full of money at Wall Street. He's not doing anything to make them compete.
Is he pro-capitalism? Is he pro-free market? Surely he's not pro either of those.
You don't get that sense that there is a deep understanding of what it takes to create jobs via the capitalist free market system in this country, or an appreciation of it. And so, for example, you saw in the tax cut fight, he grudgingly said yes to them, but at the same time was against them, right? Yeah. And so he was fighting against his own inner conflict.
Let's not let the Republicans
off on
the short.
Because, Emack, that doesn't create jobs.
Pardon? Say again, Carolyn? So,
tax breaks for the wealthy actually don't create jobs.
Sure,
for the wealthy, there's more money for people to invest, and that creates jobs.
But
they're stockpiling $2 trillion. That's not how it works. Wealthy individuals actually tend to stockpile money instead of spending it.
You're using that as a static moment in time. That money will come back into the system when the anti-business rhetoric and all the fear about a lot of hyperactive reform goes away.
Yeah, we're not talking about rhetoric. What we're talking about are policies. There is so much uncertainty throughout the economy. Much of it, not all of it, but much of it is contrived by the government, by the fact that we don't know what's going to happen, although we do know already after less than a week that the Republicans are soft on free markets as well. They're not going to do anything.
You are right. This president has borrowed $4 trillion in 2 years in office. He's going to ask for authority to borrow another trillion, and the Republicans are going to say yes.
Yeah.
Only those who vote against that are in favor of the free market. Right?
I think that you got something going on there. Or at the very least, you know, forget about the debt ceiling question for right now. If this, we have, you know, the Republicans have had months. And we've still got a couple of months. If by the time the debt ceiling is reached, if there is not a credible plan to restrain spending,
it is outrageous. It is outrageous that they can't do anything to cut spending in the interim.
Right now.
Heldman, Gillespie, Emack, it's a pleasure. Back with the plain truth.